This drama is based on a true story. A middle-aged man, Sean Langan, is in a hotel room. He adjusts a video camera on a tripod that is set up to film him sitting on the end of the bed. With a cigarette clasped between his fingers, he adjusts the viewfinder, then drops back onto the bed. The Kidnap Diaries.
I'm in a hotel in Jalalabad. The reason that I'm here is that the Taliban have invited me to film their training camps. I'm also hoping to meet Al-Qaeda, and more specifically the people who train the London bombers.
Based on the journals of Sean Langan.
It's taken months to negotiate this access, and now it's finally happening. We cross the border into Pakistan tomorrow, into the tribal lands, and that'll be the point of no return. After that, I'll be in the hands of the Taliban.
These words seem to unnerve him, and as his cigarette burns down, he resets the camera to start again.
I'm in a hotel in Jalalabad. I'm in a hotel in Jalalabad. This has taken months of negotiation. Tomorrow we cross the border into Pakistan. After that, I'm in the hands of the Taliban.
He makes a call on an old-fashioned phone.
Hello?
Is Annabelle there?
Hi. How's it going?
Great. Really good. Are the boys all right?
Boys are fine.
Why, what's wrong?
Nothing.
It's the last chance I'll have to call for a while. Is he there?
You know he is.
So he can't talk then?
I'm all talked out, Sean.
Annabelle's new partner is standing in the background. Sean searches for the words.
Well, give my love to the boys.
I'll do that.
He takes a deep breath.
Bye then.
In the hotel room, he hangs his head, then has a flashback.
Hiya! I've got something that I need to talk to you about. I'm going to go away and make a film.
So I'm not going to see you guys for a little while.
We'll be back for my birthday.
You'd miss that, would I?
He's having a party.
I know, and I'm going to be there, I promise. And I've got another promise I'm going to make. After I've made this film, I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to write a book, which means that I get to see you guys every day.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Sean.
Shall we dance?
Sean picks up his older son, Luke, and swings him round. Annabelle watches with slight bemusement, but then Sean pulls her up onto her feet and makes her join in. She beams happily as the four of them prance around the living room. On the road in a remote mountainous region.
Well, we've been driving now for about 3.5 hours. There's no checkpoints on the road, no army, no police. We're in the tribal lands, the most politically sensitive, the most dangerous place in the world.
We can always turn back.
On a scoop like this, that's not an option, Sammy.
I know.
What does Hadji think?
He thinks we are both crazy.
What? What could possibly go wrong? Come on, you gotta love it.
As they drive over rough terrain, Sean laughs and he films his guide Sammy in the passenger seat of their 4x4. A small herd of sheep traverse a steep barren mountainside. Sean's vehicle has stopped.
We are waiting for a Taliban contact.
before the training camps. The Pakistan government have always denied the existence of these camps, but young Muslims born and educated in Britain go there. And that's what we're going to try and prove, that the tribal lands are a safe haven for terrorists. This waiting's the worst part. They're worried that I might be part of an ambush. And I'm worried. Well, I'm worried about a lot of things.
Sean. They are here.
Armed men have appeared on a ridge above the track, and a 4x4 speeds up to them. Sean films four armed men getting out.
Assalamu alaikum.
One wearing designer sunglasses strides towards Sean.
Assalamu alaikum.
Turn camera off, Sean.
Give me your passport and phone.
You speak English?
Passport and phone.
Sean reaches into his pocket and hands them over.
Here you go.
Sammy joins Sean.
What's that guy? Is he Taliban? Dressed like that?
Their driver seems to have started their car, and one of the Taliban pulls him out.
I have to go. It's okay. It's okay.
Sammy is taken into the Taliban 4x4, while the contact with the designer glasses goes with Sean and a Taliban driver into his vehicle.
Where are you taking Sammy?
You travel separately, for your own safety and for our safety, okay?
What about our driver?
You don't need him anymore.
Now, they're driving through the night. With no streetlights or buildings, the only illumination on their journey are the 4x4's headlamps. The road is bare and rocky, and Sean watches their journey from the back seat with a quiet intensity.
From here, Pilgrim, we walk.
Outside the car, the Taliban with the designer glasses pulls out a blindfold.
Do you mind?
No, I understand.
He ties it tightly around Sean's head.
Get going, Pilgrim.
The contact leads Sean into the inky blackness, while other Taliban walk in front of them. They make their way through a narrow alleyway between two simple buildings. The contact glances round at Sean with a furrowed brow. The man in front pushes open a corrugated iron door that leads to a small courtyard where a cow is tethered. Sean is brought into a room lit by a Bear Eco light bulb. When his blindfold is removed, he finds himself standing before two men who are sitting opposite him on the floor. An automatic rifle is propped up against the wall.
Sit down.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
One of the men looks nervous, while the other, who is more assured, speaks to Sean.
Tell me why you are here.
Well, I have a letter of introduction from Mullah Alifa.
The man looks at the letter, but places it on the table.
Tell me why you are here.
Well, I think it's important that the world hears from the Taliban, that the world understands the Taliban point of view.
The Taliban welcome foreign journalists. We want the world to know we are fighting for our rights. There can be only one winner, the Taliban. Do you know why? We are not afraid of death. Are you afraid to die, Mr. Langan?
Yes.
The man, Mr. C, becomes serious once more.
We need to do some checking. We have to be very careful, you understand. You can rest here tonight and maybe tomorrow, maybe in a few days, you can visit our training camps and interview our leaders. What would you like for breakfast?
Oh, a boiled egg.
A boiled egg. Bloody good stuff. Good night, Mr. Langan.
Can I have my camera back?
No.
This way, Pilgrim.
Well, thank you.
Sean goes with the contact who wears designer sunglasses. Mr. C and the nervous man watch him go, then share a tense look. Sean's shown into a dark room lit by the contact's torch. There's a bunk, a bucket, and a water pipe.
What's this?
This is progress, Pilgrim. Bed for the night, ensuite bathroom, toilet, shower.
Could you leave the flashlight?
What's the matter, Pilgrim? Afraid of the dark? All mud comes.
Where'd you learn to speak English?
In England.
When the contact's gone, Sean lights a match and uses it to ignite the wick of a gas lamp. When the flame burns bright, he blows out the match. His bag is on the floor. He reaches into it and pulls out a notebook. Donning some glasses, he begins to write.
Friday, March 28th. What a day. Taliban, guns, blindfolded, expecting a bullet in the head. But I'm here. Months of preparation, and I'm finally here.
He lights a misshapen cigarette and leans back against the wall as he takes a drag. Daylight. And in the courtyard, a woman wearing a burqa is kneading dough in a pan. Another, similarly dressed, is working nearby, and two children are playing together. Sean is watching them through a grilled window when the door opens and a man carrying a tray walks in.
Assalamu alaikum.
Desta sabanare mordar kafir hoka.
Thank you.
Tete puti kafir kuna tahtaka.
Two eggs and some bread. Later that night...
Saturday, March 29th. Locked in this room all day. There's no sign of Sammy. I'm still hopeful everything will be okay. I'll be granted an interview and make a good film. I'm buoyed by the idea, being the first Western hack to film the training camps.
A flashback.
Once upon a time, there was a fearless journalist, a man so brave he would go where lesser journalists feared to tread.
Is that you, Daddy?
That's me, Gabriel.
Sean is lying on his bunk when Sammy walks through the door.
Hey, Sammy. Thank fuck.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, you?
Yeah.
Good.
What do you think?
I don't know, Sean. This does not feel right, you know?
They're just checking us out.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Sometime later, a man comes in with a small rug, which he places on the floor and kneels on. Sean glances at Sammy with confusion.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Pulling out a large knife.
Had lamous. Tiqtl al-amerikiyin. Da amrikayina de. Hada kra kafir.
Sean looks back to Sammy. And later, the three men are sitting in silence in the room.
واش يمكن لي نسولك واحد السؤال شخصي؟ واش في الحقيقة وفي الواقع
الغربيين كيمارسوا الجنس على الحيوانات وحتى الحيوانات الصغيرة.
He wants to know if people in the West have sex with animals. Even small animals.
شفت في واحد الكتاب العيالات الغربيات كيتزوجوا بالضفدع.
He has seen a book about a Western woman who marries a frog.
A frog?
Sean, I've also seen this book. A woman kissing a frog.
Was he wearing a little gold crown on his little green head like a prince? It's a fucking fairy story, Sammy. It's not real. Young British Muslims are being inspired by people like this who want Islamic rule over all the earth. Ask him if he's fighting jihad because he thinks we fuck frogs.
Sammy's nervous. Sean leans back against the wall, laughing. Daytime, and sunlight streams into the courtyard. Sean and Sammy are sleeping when Mr. C's men burst into their room and wake the third man, pulling a black hood over his head.
Don't worry about him. Not your problem. He's a traitor. You, we've not decided yet. There will be investigation.
Dragging the third man away.
Then we decide.
Sean watches Mr. C follow his men out of the courtyard.
I think we have a problem.
The man who brought Sean breakfast takes a large piece of cloth from the washing line and covers up the grilled window. A woman is sweeping the yard with a baby strapped to her back as if nothing has happened. Sometime later, Sean is lying on his bunk when something annoys him. He pulls up his t-shirt to reveal insect bites on his belly.
Shit. What is the matter?
You know what, Sammy? I've stayed in a lot nicer places.
Grabbing some soap from his bag, he turns on the rudimentary shower and shuts the windows. Standing under the cold water, he remembers showering at home.
Look on the bright side, Sean. If the Taliban cut off your head, you'll be world famous.
Shivering in the present.
You could get an award named after you. The Sean Langan Award for stupid bravery. A legend in his own autofocus.
Through the shower screen.
Everybody dies.
Like you're looking for it.
Sammy and Sean are waiting in their room when Mr. C comes in.
Sean, my friend. Sit. You sit down. Ah. How are you, my friend?
Well, I've been better.
Look what I brought you. Radio, BBC World Service, make you feel at home. Iranian toffees. Toilet rolls should make you feel more bloody comfortable, yes?
How long?
Few days more.
Why the delay?
Read this. Shampoo.
Sammy gets to his feet as he reads.
Toothbrush.
Mr. C gets to his feet as Sammy reads on with fearful disbelief.
Read the questions, write down your answers. I will read your answers. Then we shall see. Tomorrow.
What is it, Sammy? What is it?
We are under arrest. Charged with spying for foreign enemy government.
by order of the Taliban.
We've been kidnapped.
No, Sean. We are dead.
Clutching prayer beads, Sammy rests his mouth on them and closes his eyes as he drops onto his bunk. The small village they're being held in is nestled in a valley, overshadowed by ominous sprawling mountains. While the women wash clothes in the courtyard, Sammy and Sean are sitting in the living room with their host, Guljan, Mr. C, and another man.
You work for British intelligence?
No. I work for a British television company called Channel 4.
You admit contact with British and American military forces?
Well, I'm a journalist. That's my job.
You admit contact with government agents and the Afghan National Police?
Look, I've got nothing to hide. You can see my films on the internet. Anybody can.
This question you have left blank. The names of your children. What are the names of your children?
I'm not telling you the names of my children.
You must answer all of the questions.
I'm not dragging my children into this dark business.
Answer the question!
No.
If you do not answer the question, he will be forced to shoot you.
Tell him, Sean. What does it matter?
Matters to me.
You have 5 seconds to answer the question.
Sean.
4 seconds.
Please.
3 seconds.
Sean, tell him.
You are prepared to die for this, huh? And I thought you were intelligent.
My children don't belong here.
If you refuse to answer the question, he'll be forced to shoot him.
This is no place for my children.
This is out of my hands.
He means it, Sean. Tell him.
Guljan prays, and Sean has tears in his eyes.
All right. You want to know the names of my children? My 5-year-old son is called Luke, and my 3-year-old son is called Gabriel. Luke and Gabriel.
Guljan speaks.
What are you here?
Sammy kisses his prayer beads.
Satisfied.
The third man lowers his gun.
The Shura Court will consider your answers and reach a verdict. Until then, you're a guest of Guljan.
Guljan gazes at Sean silently. Later, back in their room, Sean and Sammy are sitting on their bunks. Sammy is agitated.
We've got to get out. They are going to kill us. We've got to get out. If we can get to Peshawar, if we can do that, I know a guy who can get us to Kunar. And once we get to Kunar, we should be safe. If we can only get to Peshawar.
Look, that's great, Sammy, but we've got to get out of the room first.
We kill the guard. When he come bring food, we kill the bastard.
Okay. How do you propose we kill the bastard?
The lamp. You hit him with the lamp. You smash glass in his eye. I get his knife, slit his throat.
Okay. Then what? We're in the most dangerous place in the world, surrounded by the Taliban.
Or we wait here to die like a dog.
I'm not a violent man, Sammy.
Then we are already dead.
No, we have to try and talk our way out. Get Guljan on our side. I think he's a decent man. If we can convince him to let us make a phone call, that's our hope.
I want to be buried in my own clothes.
Oh, come on. Come on, Sammy. I can't do this without you. Friday, April 4th. I'm writing this journal for my children. I think about my children all of the time. My biggest fear isn't dying. My biggest fear is dying in the dark. We keep the light burning. If they come in the night to slit my throat, I want to see them coming.
Some food is brought in.
Assalamu alaikum.
The man fixes Sean with a cold stare before leaving them alone.
It's all right, Sammy. Room service.
Sammy just stares at the wall.
Come on, Sammy. You gotta eat. You know, Sammy, in America, on death row, they let you choose whatever you want to eat before they kill you. You can have anything you like. What would you have, Sammy?
Lamb kebab.
You can have anything you like. Last meal on earth. I'd have oysters on ice with lemon juice and Tabasco and caviar and blinis and sour cream and lobster. And wash it all down with a nice chilled chablis.
Sammy's curled up on his bed.
I like lamb kebab.
Laughing to himself, Sean eats something. A match flame illuminates the darkness as Annabelle lights each of four candles on a birthday cake.
Sunday, April 6th. Gabriel's birthday. Day of despair. What'll he think? What'll he think when I don't even call? Will he think I don't love him anymore?
Gabriel blows out his candles, then smiles happily at his cake. In a flashback...
Once upon a time, there was a fearless journalist who flew too close to the sun. And just like Icarus, he crashed, and he burned, and fell to earth.
Daytime, and Sean carefully rips a hole in the cloth covering the grilled window so that he can see what's happening in the yard outside. As Guljan takes a tray of food from one of the women, Sean rushes over to Sammy.
It's Guljan, son. This is it.
What do you want to do?
Talk to him. Win him over.
They get to their feet as Guljan comes in, the light through the door making Sean scrunch his eyes up.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you. Please. Guljan, please. Sit down. Join us.
Sammy gestures for Guljan to take a seat on Sean's bunk. He nods and makes his way over, while Sean passes the tray of food to Sammy and reaches for a crate to place it onto. Guljan looks slightly suspicious, narrowing his eyes, but he breaks some bread and eats it. Seeing him smile, Sean does the same, dipping it into the gravy of the meat dish he's brought them. Taking a bite.
Guljan, this is very good. Guljan, I know I'm an uninvited guest in your house. You know I don't want to be here. I know you don't want me here. The Taliban have done this to us. They've taken my camera and my liberty and my dignity. But I don't care. All I want to do now is survive. I've seen you, Guljan, with your children. Your children. All I want to do now is to see my children. Can you tell them, please, Sam?
Guljan, shen ham da stas prasik yo bladi. Kala chi havas da mashi manguri, zveri wari chi hapil mashi manguri.
They study Guljan as he considers his answer.
Uba.
He says he is sorry.
Guljan leaves their cell, shutting the door behind him, but he removes the cloth from the grilled window. The two women are working outside. Sean is sitting, staring into space, when the door opens and a teenage boy comes in with a peach.
From my uncle Guljan.
Thank you.
My name's Aqil. I'm learning English. My uncle says, do you play chess?
Now, Sean is playing chess with Guljan.
And behold, a pale horse, and his name that rode upon him was Death, and Hell, and Fury followed after him.
Sean turns to Akil.
Do you like music?
Yes, everybody likes music.
Not the Taliban. They banned music.
Well, they also banned chess.
My uncle's not the Taliban. He's a good man. He wants you to know this.
Well, then why is he keeping us here?
It's not my uncle's choice.
Chickens peck at seeds in the courtyard.
Thursday, May 8th. This morning, under the shower, I had the irrational fear that if the soap runs out, my life runs out.
While Sean uses the makeshift shower, he's unaware that the two women from the yard are watching him. He dreams the man who brings them their food is about to stab him. Sammy's praying.
Friday, May 9th. Thinking of Annabelle all day.
Stay here with me. Get a job in London. Help me bring up your children. Our children.
When's Daddy coming back home?
You knew what my work involved before you married me, Annabelle. You knew that.
When he finished his work. You know, Daddy, he needs to do his work. You go off somewhere and come back completely screwed up and then you go out every night getting wasted.
Yeah, well, that's just stress.
I'm stressed too, Sean. I'm sick of being on my own.
Sean's at a nightclub, laughing and drinking. Then he wakes Annabelle at 3 in the morning by switching on the landing light.
Most precious thing I ever had, I blew it. Just threw it away. I'm actually surprised she stayed around as long as she did.
You love her still?
Mr. C finds Sean and Guljan playing chess.
We have one final question.
He takes a seat next to them and holds up the letter that Sean gave him.
Mullah Alifa gave you this letter, yes?
Yes.
An invitation to film our training camps.
And that's what I thought.
This letter is worthless. Mullah Alifa is under arrest, suspected of being a spy. What is your connection with Mullah Alifa?
I interviewed him for a film once.
Good cover for a spy.
I'm a journalist.
That is up to the jury to decide. And another thing. The Shura wanted you moved to the caves. For you, Sean, certain bloody death, and I said no. I said no, Sean. And for that, you should be bloody grateful.
He's about to go, but changes his mind.
One more thing. It was a mistake to ask you about your children. I've been told by the Shura to apologize. But let me show you something. I'm a father like you, Sean. I understand the innocence of children.
Sean picks up the mobile phone to find footage of a young boy.
Is this your son?
Not my son, no.
Sean watches the film as the boy moves his scarf to reveal a bomb strapped around his waist. Sean is visibly shaken.
This child is in paradise. You do not believe that. And yet, you believe the Americans landed a man on the moon. Now that is propaganda, my friend. American propaganda.
Mr. C gets up and walks out, leaving Sean to lean his head back against the wall and let out a sigh. Later, he watches Guljan playing with a little boy and a bicycle tyre. He looks round to share it with Sammy, who's rocking back and forth as he prays.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Sean.
Later, after doing press-ups, Sean is washing his clothes in a bucket when he throws a worried glance over at Sammy. Sammy's tormented, rolling over in bed.
Sunday, 18th May. Feel like a drowning man. I see my life flash before me, and I can slow it down. It's like walking into a library that's been closed for years.
Watford 1, Birmingham City 1.
Full of cobwebs.
Blackpool 2, Millwall 3.
My own personal archive.
In a hazy memory, he's playing football as a child with a man. Then he's playing the same game with his own children. Someone's at Annabelle's front door.
Hello?
Annabelle. I'm Matthew Kane. I work in crisis management. I've been retained by Channel 4.
Sean was last seen in Jalalabad 5 weeks ago. We know he crossed the border into Pakistan, but since then, nothing. The most likely scenario is kidnapper. Most likely kidnappers are the Taliban. Sean named you his next of kin.
I'm not his next of kin, we're divorced.
I know, but that's what he's done. And that makes you the primary decision maker.
What am I going to tell the kids?
Sean's having a shower when his bar of soap drops down the lavatory hole in the floor. Memories of Luke and Gabriel flash through his mind. Stealing himself, he crouches down slowly to reach into the hole to retrieve the soap.
Once upon a time, there was a fearless journalist. A man so brave, he would risk his life in pursuit of truth and understanding.
Sammy is praying, rubbing his neck and face with agitation.
Wednesday, 21st May. Sammy is falling apart. All he does is sleep and pray and read the Quran.
Show me your faith.
He doesn't eat, he doesn't speak, he doesn't wash.
If you had any, you'd get up now. You're all the same. You, the Taliban, you're a bunch of hypocrites. It's a sham. Where's your faith? Now come on!
What do we should do? Get
Taliban are robbing you among the prisoners.
Stop shouting! He said the Taliban will come and kill us!
Let the Taliban come! I'd rather they took us away and killed us now than watch you lie there and rot in your own shit! Fight! Fight back!
Hilakov, this would be a cheat charge.
I've had enough of this bullshit. I want to be tried now. I want this over and done with.
Please, Sean, keep your voice down.
Right, I'll stop shouting if you promise me you'll fight back. Start washing, start eating, take some exercise. Promise me, Sammy, promise me on your holy book, or I'll shout until I get us both killed, because I don't care anymore.
Sammy puts his hands up to his ears, and Sean is left wide-eyed and distraught. Holding some prayer beads in one hand, Gorjan goes over and gently places his hands on Sean's shoulders. When Gorjan has gone, Sean drops down onto his bunk, his bottom lip quivering. Outside, one of the women sings softly to herself as she sews. Sammy takes a shower. Sean stares sadly out of the window. Time passes, and while the women churn something in a metal barrel, Sean is at the window once more. His beard is full and bushy. Sammy's laughing in his sleep, and he wakes and sits up.
What were you dreaming about? You were laughing.
Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I cry. You know, I'm glad that you're here with me, Sean.
Wish I wasn't.
I mean, I'm glad I'm not here alone.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for me. My fault.
A stranger comes into their cell.
Assalamu alaikum.
The man just stares at them, then leaves again. Outside, he joins Gulcan and Mr. C.
The hell was that?
What's
going on, Sammy?
They are arguing about taking us to the caves. Gulcan is saying no.
Smoke billows from a chimney.
Gulcan!
Another day, and Mr. C and one of his henchmen approach Sean and Sammy's cell.
You outside. No, you stay here.
Sammy obediently sits back down. Mr. C follows Sean into the courtyard, carrying a rifle radio phone.
Go Channel 4, tell them our demands.
What demands?
Reaching into his pocket.
You want me to hold that for you?
Thank you.
Mr. C happily hands his rifle to Sean as he pulls out the list of demands. Gulcan is watching.
These demands.
Sean is pointing the rifle at Mr. C, but laughs and hands it back.
Yeah, it's Sean Langan for Kevin Sutcliffe, and can you tell him it's very urgent? Hi, Kevin. I've been kidnapped. It's the Taliban, Kevin. I've got a commander standing next to me with an AK-47. They've told me to tell you that they're treating me very well and I'm still alive. These are their demands. And please do everything they say or they're going to kill me. And they will kill me. And if they kill me, it's all your fault. They want money.
Annabelle answers the phone.
Hello?
Annabelle, it's Matthew Kane. They've made contact. Sean's alive.
Is he going to be all right?
We hope so.
You hope so?
In a hostage situation, you can never tell. One thing that could happen is they get Sean to ring you or Channel 4 direct. It's kidnap strategy.
Don't take the call. If you don't recognize the number, don't answer the phone.
Okay. Then what? What happens next?
You have to hope for the best, Annabelle.
Sammy watches Mr. C in the courtyard on the phone.
You want to see Sean Langan alive? We want $2 million.
They haven't got $2 million.
That is our price.
You've seen this before. The Taliban ransom foreign journalist and kill the Afghan.
I promise you this. I'm not leaving here without you. We either go together or we don't go at all.
$2 million or Sean Langan is a dead man.
Listen, you have to be realistic.
Yeah. $2 million is not realistic. You should know that.
So let's negotiate.
This is not negotiable.
This does not look good, Sean.
Sean Langan is a dead man.
This is deliberate. This will all be over in a few days, one way or another.
Mr. C terminates the call and marches away. In a dream, Sean wakes in his bunk, and with a flash of himself as a child in his head, he makes his way for the open door. The courtyard is lit with an eerie green glow, and he makes his way through a large gap in the wall. He finds himself gazing through the window into Annabelle's house through a narrow gap in the curtains. She and her new partner are dancing with the children, much like he did before he left for his trip. Annabelle spots him and slowly makes her way out of the living room. As she walks along the hallway to the front door, he makes his way to the other side with a look of joyous expectation on his face. Although Annabelle reaches up to the door, when it opens, Sean finds a woman in a burqa facing him. She shakes her head, then closes the door once more. Daytime. And in the courtyard, one of the women is putting twigs in the wood-burning stove, and children run about.
You know what this is about, Sammy? The Americans, the British, and Pakistan, they know we're here. The Taliban, they pick us up, they bring us here. They don't know what to do with us.
Sammy.
With a sad expression, Sammy gets up so that Gorjan can whisper something in his ear. He hands Sammy a phone, then bows before taking his leave.
What's all that about?
A phone. Gulijan says we should ring our families.
What's this? What, United Airlines 93? Say goodbye to your loved ones?
You first, Sean.
Sammy passes Sean the phone. The door is open and Sean goes to sit on some steps.
Hi, this is Annabelle. Please leave a message after the tone. Thanks, bye.
Hello, Annabelle. They've let me call you. I just wanted to let you know that I've been thinking about you all so much. I feel very close to you out here. Now, I don't want to scare you, but I might not get the chance to tell you how much I love you.
Please never stop telling our boys how much their daddy loved them. I love you all so very much. And I'm sorry.
Annabelle's listening, and she chokes back tears. She puts her hands up to her face.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Mr. C is on the radio phone.
We will take $1 million.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Is that what you want? We will kill him.
Allahu Akbar.
The woman with the baby strapped to her back sweeps the courtyard. Other women hang out some washing. Two boys play a game with some pebbles. Sean watches as two of the women chop vegetables and place them in a pot. One of them looks round at him, fixing him with her dark auburn eyes. Later, Sean is lying on his bunk while Sammy is sitting cross-legged on his. Sometime later, they're sitting at a table outside with Akhil and Guljan when Mr. C arrives in the courtyard.
Mr. C.
He's carrying a piece of paper. Sean gets to his feet.
Good news, Sean. The Shura have found you innocent. They decided you really are a journalist, not a spy. Sign here that you accept the verdict.
Handing the paper to Sean.
How do I know that this isn't a confession?
You don't trust me. You disappoint me, Sean.
Sammy gets up and reads the document.
It's okay. Not guilty.
Sean signs it as Sammy prays with relief.
Then the Shura took a vote on whether or not to kill you anyway. To make an example. I want you to know, Sean, I voted against. But it was not enough. I'm sorry, Sean. The Shura voted to kill you. But the vote was overruled by Mullah Khmar. You get to live, Sean. Bloody good news, yes? As for you, Mr. Fixer, not so good. Guilty as charged.
Sammy trembles violently as he reads the verdict, and Akhil lowers his head.
But the Shura voted to let you live. You get to fix another day. So, you're both going home. Get ready. We leave separately.
No. I'm not going without Sammy.
I said you leave separately.
And I said we go together or we don't go at all.
It's okay, Sean. Guljan will make sure I get home.
Back in the room, Sean grabs a large pile of exercise books. Putting them in his holdall, he reaches for the worn-down soap, while Sammy packs his bag nearby. They turn to look at one another, then embrace. Mr. C comes in, giving a burqa to Sean.
Let's go. Put this on.
You gotta be joking, right?
You want to be kidnapped again? Hurry up, put it on!
Sean comes out of their cell wearing the burqa over his clothes and carrying his leather holdall. Guljan and his family bow to him as he passes. The contact with the designer sunglasses is in the driving seat of a car.
Try and sit like a woman.
Sean climbs in.
Hello, pilgrim.
They drive off.
I shall miss you, Sean. I think of you now as a friend. If you want to come back and make another film, I can open many doors.
I won't be coming back.
When the Shura wanted to kill you, Sean, I argued for your life. I have a cousin in London. Here.
Handing Sean a card.
The Pashtun Pantry.
Bloody good food. It would be nice if you send me something, Sean. You can give it to my cousin. American dollars would be best. $100 a month would be a big help to me and my family.
Sean holds his stare for a long moment, then looks away. They pull up at the side of a remote road, where another 4x4 is waiting. A white man in Western clothes is in the passenger seat of the second car. When they've stopped, Mr. C lets out a deep sigh.
Well, Sean, it is nearly all over for you.
He puts out his hand, and reluctantly Sean shakes it. He climbs out of the car and goes to take his holdall from the contact with designer sunglasses, but the man points his gun at him. He stares at Sean with a grim expression.
Godspeed, Pilgrim.
He hands Sean his bag, and in the back of the car, Mr. C laughs heartily. The Taliban car drives away, and Sean makes his way slowly over to the other car. Stretching out before them are vast ranges of shrub-covered mountains beneath a dull grey sky. He reaches for the door.
Welcome back, Sean.
Once he's climbed in the back, he pulls off the headdress of his burqa with a look of relief. The passenger looks round at him.
Hot shower, a few drinks. Sound good?
I just want to go home.
Okay, go.
They drive off, and Sean is jostled about in the back seat. The driver is a young local man, and the passenger dons a pair of sunglasses. Sean's expression remains blank as the landscape speeds past them.
This one go home.
He ruffles his hair as his emotions take hold. He looks out at the passing scenery, then turns to look behind him.